And I would just like to echo what Pastor Don was saying earlier in the service, that I would really appreciate any feedback that you might have after the service. I'll be getting some coffee and would love to meet you and chat for a little bit. Now, when I introduce myself to people who don't know me, much like a lot of the faces I don't know out there right now, two things usually come up. First is that I'm a Moravian, and second is that I'm a runner. And you all know at least a little bit about my Moravian side, so I am going to tell you a little bit this morning about my running side, which is funny now that I think about it, because the feeling in my stomach right now is a lot like I'm about to start a race. Those two fit in really well together. But I guess I was always destined to be a runner. My mother claims that as a baby, while I was sleeping, she would whisper into my ear, "Cross country." Because she didn't want to see one of her baby boys get beat up on the football field. And running for me started when I was in junior high, cross country and track. I joined because my brother was in those two sports as a high schooler, and he was having a lot of success. And like any other good little brother, I wanted to be on a team with my older brother that I looked up to, but I also kind of wanted to kick his butt too. And even though I never quite reached Joel's heights, I found some success in it myself. So I stuck with it over the years for the success and also because it forged such a strong relationship between my brother and I. Eventually, Joel went to college, and a few years later, I found myself at the same school, mainly for the sole purpose of being on the same team as my brother again. And as the years went on, we began running more and more and more miles. The amount of mileage we could put on an average summer day genuinely confused our family members and friends. A reaction to our daily mileage would range from a simple "wow" or "good for you" all the way to gross or my personal favorite, "that's messed up." And one summer we actually ran close to about 100 miles a week. And looking back on it, I would have to agree that that was a little bit messed up. But all those miles honestly flew by because I got to spend them with my big brother. I enjoyed spending time with him much more than I enjoyed the actual running part. And this fact became very obvious the first summer he was away and I was left to train on my own. I always knew that that day would come, but I wasn't mentally prepared to attack those miles solo. For years and years, running was never truly my thing. It was Joel's. And I picked it up because it led me to hang out with my brother more, and that was always my main drive. But once I had to lace up my shoes alone and do the hard work by myself, I really struggled to find that motivation. Many days that summer, I would spend trying to make excuses to convince myself why I didn't need to run that day. It's too hot. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. Missing one day won't hurt. It's just too hard. It felt like a burden to keep putting on those miles. And I asked myself many times why I was even doing it anymore. What am I gaining from this? Can't I quit and do something else? But even though my motivation was streaky at best and my legs were often tired and sore, I still tied up my shoes, got up, put my head down, and ran. There was something that kept pushing me out the door, even though I couldn't put my finger on it. And those summer runs were often frustrating, lonely, always sweaty. And they didn't always feel very good. But I had this strange determination to figure out what running had to offer to me. I knew that I had met some of my best friends because of running, and I knew that I enjoyed racing. And at the very least, it was an activity that allowed me to eat whatever I wanted, and I would never gain a pound. But I wanted more. Why did I have a gift for this? What kept bringing me back to go for runs? Most of those summer days, the only thing that got me out the door was the opportunity to learn something more about myself. I accepted that maybe I didn't have the answers for now, and at the very least, it was something that challenged me, and it got the best out of me for at least an hour every day. But I wanted to figure out what this link was, why I was drawn to it so much. And a few months later, I found an answer. You see, as a high school and college student, I would lead prayers for my teammates before and after races. It was always something that I greatly enjoyed and took a lot of pride in. And one afternoon, as I was looking for my teammates after a race, something changed. Instead of just looking for purple and yellow Stevens Point jerseys, I began asking anybody who crossed my path if they wanted to join us for a prayer. So instead of praying with my 7 teammates and myself, we ended up with about 50 of us, arm in arm, ready to take a moment just to thank God. We stood up, exchanged high fives and hugs, and wished each other well. And riding on the bus home, I was more proud of that prayer than anything else I had accomplished in my years of running. And that day was the first time a life in ministry had crossed my mind. And I honestly am not sure how that call would have reached me if God would have let me give up on running. There was a purpose for it, and he was just waiting to show me. And even though my journey is just beginning, and there are certainly going to be challenges along the way, I'm very grateful every day that he didn't let me abandon running. In our lesson today, Elijah is ready to give up. He just put his own life on the line to prove that his God is the one and true God. And he's victorious. So if anyone should be feeling good about his relationship with God and his own purpose, it should be Elijah. But he becomes frightened, tired, and he doesn't think he can continue. But knowing that he has a path laid out for him and entrusted him with a mission, God doesn't let him give up. He doesn't accept this moment of doubt or his desire to give it up. He doesn't hear Elijah's plea and say, "You know what, you're right. I can see you're exhausted. You've put in good work. Why don't you rest for a little while?" And he also doesn't find a different, less difficult task for Elijah. He simply gives him the food and drink he needs and gives him the strength to continue the journey, a journey that was chosen for him and for no one else. Elijah's instructions were very simple when he was weak and weary: get up and eat. God knows he's tired. God knows he's frightened. And he knows more than anybody that this journey is going to be difficult. But he also knows he can give Elijah exactly what he needs to continue. As children of God, we can be guilty of thinking our lives should be easy or our paths should be smooth. When we hit a tough patch, we don't always know how to respond and how to carry on. We get wrapped up in God's love and forget that sometimes he challenges us, he pushes us. We've also grown very accustomed to having immediate results and getting all the answers we need. But if we don't know what lies ahead, that frustrates us. And if we know what difficulties are coming, it can intimidate us, even overwhelm us at times. And we end up questioning what we're doing, or doubting our own strength or our ability. But God gives us exactly what we need to accomplish the tasks he's given us. He won't let us give up. Whether he helps you find your running shoes so you can go on a journey to learn a little bit more about yourself, or if he gives you the motivation and the energy to sacrifice your own time to improve the life of someone else, he provides those gifts for you. So when we're drained, when we're burnt out, or we feel like giving up, we need to bring those concerns to God. Let him know that we're struggling, but we also need to remember what his response is going to be. He's not going to let us take the easy way out. Instead, he'll supply what we need to keep going. Our challenges have a purpose. They shape us. They teach us about ourselves. They change our perspectives on how we should view the world and others in it. And it really is simple as it sounds, to get up and eat. To look for the gifts that he offers to us, to hold on to them tightly, rely on them and on him when we get tired. For me, it was get up and run. That was and still is a way that I find God institutes his call in my life and gives me strength. For others, it might be get up and sing, get up and play, get up and work, get up and serve. We all get tired, and we all certainly feel weak, but our journey is not over. So if we trust in God enough to get back up, he'll give us what we need to take the next step forward. Amen.